Be seated, please.
Well, good morning. As was made mention, it's so good to see so many back out with us that have been traveling or been sick. We had a lot out sick last Sunday, and so we're so good, glad to have all of you out with us. Next Sunday, just to give you an update, tonight David Feeney will be speaking to us, third Sunday. Next Sunday, we will have two lessons. One of the lessons will be Let All That You Do Be Done in Love, finishing out our 1 Corinthians 16 series. This morning we're going to have the fourth lesson in it, Be Strong. But the other lesson is going to be the beginning of a new series, and it's going to be called Why. The series is just going to be called Why. I think it was Donnie Rader that did the workbook called Why. Someone may correct me on that. There was a workbook called Why, and it was 13 lessons on why we do different things. Why we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Why we sing a cappella. Why we have Bibles. All of that. And we're going to do something similar. Right now I've got 10 lessons planned, so that should take me well through the rest of the year, because you know how I like to change around and put a lesson for a couple weeks later. But the first one's going to be why about salvation. It's going to be questions in regard to salvation. The second lesson, which is planned for the week after that, is why about the worship assembly. Why do we do some of the things in the worship assembly that we do? And questions that come up about our worship. So that's going to be the next two Sundays. And then on September the 29th, the evening lesson will be another sermon and song. Like we did a month ago, I think. Where we had scriptures and song as the lesson. I haven't decided exactly which one I'm going to do yet. I'm leaning towards clay, potter and clay, looking at that imagery and some of the songs we have on that regard, but I may hold that till next quarter. But we'll do a sermon and song, and it's really a twofold. I got a lot of great response on that, and a lot asked that we incorporate that in every so often. And secondly, we're planning on recording the singing in November, and so that will give us a tester for Andy, and that's me letting Andy know, hey, we're planning on recording the singing in November, because I forgot to tell him. But that'll give us a tester to see if we can put the mic down there and see how that works with the song. So, this morning, though, we're going to be doing Be Strong. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as we've been doing these lessons, the first one was Be Watchful, Stand Firm in the Faith, Act Like Men, and now Be Strong. What does it mean to be strong? We're fixing to study Joshua on Sunday mornings in the next quarter, I believe. And in the book of Joshua, there is time and time again repeated, be strong and of good courage, or be strong and courageous. And that's what the song we just sang, and I thank Brandon for doing that. But what does it mean to be strong? And what does it mean for us? So I want to look at that from 5 points this morning about being strong. There's that be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and then let all that you do be done in love. The word here for strong appears only 4 times in the Bible. The Greek word for it appears only 4 times in the Bible. One of the instances is in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And that's where you'll want to be turned, for that's one of our main passages today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, we're studying it on Wednesday night, but if you're familiar enough with the book, you recognize that this is coming from the text of the armor of the Lord, the armor of God. And so the first point I want to make this morning in being strong is you're only strong if you have the right equipment. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. So we'll turn there and read that now. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes, your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, by which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We'll stop there. I would be a wrong person if I said, all right, we're going to war. There's an army outside. Be strong and head on out. And didn't give you any equipment. In verse 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Then in verse 11 he says, put on the whole armor of God. It all goes hand in hand. In order to be strong, we need to be loaded down with the right equipment. If we've got the wrong equipment, we're not going to be effective and we're not going to be strong. You wouldn't go to a basketball game wearing full football pads. It's not going to go well for you. You wouldn't go to a football game dressed like you would in basketball. It's not going to be good for you. You have to have the right equipment on in order to be strong. And what does this equipment entail? What does it entail in being strong? Well, we're to have the whole armor of God, because why? It resists the devil. It goes against his schemes. Verse 14, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and with all prayer and supplication. If we want to be strong and have the right equipment, and we understand what the equipment is from Ephesians chapter 6, then in order to be strong, what do we need to be doing? We need to be preparing ourselves. If we want to be strong, it just doesn't happen overnight, does it? Strength does not just magically come in the middle of the night. We have to be prepared. How can we use the truth, or the sword of the Spirit, or the shield of faith if we don't understand it? We need to prepare ourselves. In order to be strong, in order to be courageous, we need to take time to fasten ourselves properly. We need to take time to guard ourselves correctly. We need to take time to understand our equipment. If you think about when you're trying out a new appliance or a new technique or something, do you just do it the first time when you're going to give it to everybody else or do it for everybody else, or do you do a tester? I think about, and this is probably a bad example, but I think about pancakes in my family. We make our own batter. And the first pancake is always a tester to make sure your batter is right and to make sure your heat is right on the griddle. You don't just do the first one and say, here you go, without testing it. We need to know our equipment. We need to be able to understand it well enough to know if it's working properly. And so there's going to be some tests involved in there. Paul says, test the spirits. We need to use our equipment to test things around us in order to be strong. In order that we might be prepared for what's coming our way. Being strong, though, also is letting walls come down. And a lot of people are going to say, that's not the same thing. That's complete opposites. We oftentimes get an image of being strong means I'm strong, no one can see me in a bad way. No one can see me hurt. I have to be strong for my family, meaning I have to hold it all in and put on a face for them. It takes a strong person to admit when things are wrong and to admit when they need help. In Galatians chapter 6, what Paul's talking about is to bear one another's burdens. How can I know your burdens unless you let me know what they are? Many times we don't know each other's burdens because we don't let each other in. We don't let the other person know what we need because it would be admitting we need help. And we're going to be strong and try to do it ourselves. Being strong is letting those walls come down. Is letting the barriers come down. One of my favorite images of the early church, as you look throughout the New Testament, is they worked together. Do you notice that? In the very beginning of the church, I made the comment of the day to someone I was talking with. When the church, and I made the comment in the car on the ride back yesterday. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches his sermon. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and you shall see to get to the Holy Ghost. And that day there were 3,000 souls added to the church, right? That's what Scripture says. Alright, this is the early church. Now, we want to talk about the early church. This is the early church, right after they are added to the church. There are two things we learn the early church is doing. They're studying together, and they're in each other's homes day by day. That's the first two things we learn about the early church's work. Is that they studied together, they were studying together, and they were in each other's homes day by day. Devoting one another to that. Not only were they doing both of them, they were devoting one another to studying, they were devoting to one another in spending time together in fellowship. As you're going through the New Testament, and Paul is talking to them, what problems are coming up? Problems are coming up because there are divisions, right? Because they're not working together in the right way. But yet still today, we have the problem of, it's all on me. It's all my work. It's what I have to do. Because I'm strong and I will do it without anyone's help. I'll just do it on my own. That's not being strong. Being strong is letting walls come down and bearing one another's burdens, but also in working together. Because sometimes we build up walls of saying, I'm going to do my own thing. That wall needs to come down just as well. Walls of separation that we've built need to come down. Otherwise, we're not being strong. And let me tell you, going along with that idea of being strong and courageous, as we sing, it takes a lot of courage to let our walls come down. Because some of those walls have been built for a long time. And maybe the last time they came down, we were hurt. Well, that's why we put them back up. Those walls have got to come down if we want to be effective. Being strong is admitting we're sometimes wrong. In James chapter 5, verse 16, James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have a duty to admit when we're wrong. That takes a lot of strength. It's much easier when we're wrong just to say, okay, and then sweep it under a rug and act like it didn't happen, right? That's much easier to do. Let me tell you, think about those of you who are parents, and then those of you who are children. Did the parents go easier on you when you admitted the wrong firsthand, rather than if the parents found out about it first and you didn't come to them? Which way was easier for you, admitting the wrong yourself or denying it and letting mom and dad figure it out themselves? Oh, you might have gotten away with a couple of things they never found out about. But the ones they did, how did it go for you? Much easier. Maybe not easier. Much better on you to admit the wrong firsthand. It takes a lot of strength and courage to do that. Especially because when we're admitting our wrongs, it may be someone that we love very greatly that we've wronged. And it's hard to have to go to them and say, I'm sorry I've done this. It could be someone that we don't have a good relationship to. And let me tell you, it's a lot harder to me to say I'm sorry to people like that. People I have a bad relationship with, it's a lot harder for me to say I'm sorry. For me to admit that I've done something wrong to that person. Let me tell you, it's really hard to admit I've done something wrong to someone who's wronged me, but they've not recognized they're wrong. Doesn't change that I need to admit it. It doesn't change that I need to do better. Because as the old saying is, two wrongs don't make a right. And sometimes some of the things we do, it's hard to let others know that we fell into that trap. It doesn't change the fact that we need to own up to it. Because if we don't own up to it, then we haven't dealt with it. That's the truthfulness of it. If we've been involved in situations that are sinful in nature, and we act like we're just going to sweep it under the rug, and no one else knows about it, and we've not talked about it, maybe not even to God, then we've not really dealt with it. We've just kind of hidden it and bottled it up. And so we need to be strong and admit when things go wrong. And to admit when things need to change. And to admit we're sorry. And to admit maybe we need help in that. That takes a lot of strength. You know, a lot of times we think of being strong as this big burly man who can lift everything. Sometimes being strong is being the meek person that admits what we need and what we've done. Being strong is through trials as well. 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God and Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. It is really easy to be weak in the midst of trials. And there's a lot involved in that statement that I just made. Let's look at it from a couple of perspectives. It's easy to sin while we're going through trials. If we're going through a hard time, it's easy to look for comfort somewhere other than God. We don't face trials like the church that Peter is talking to did. We don't have people threatening us to kill us. But we still go through trials, right? We still face persecution. And it's easy to turn for comfort to places where we shouldn't. Alcohol, pornography, fornication. Things that give us a little joy for a small time. Because we're in the middle of a bad time, so it's okay. Drugs, gambling, things that can bring us minor joy. That's being weak in the middle of a trial. Being strong is keeping our eyes on Jesus and keeping our eyes on God and being assisted by our brethren. Also being weak in the midst of trials is denying God. A trial comes to my faith, and I say, that's okay, I'm not a Christian. You know, we are so blessed to have freedom of religion in this country. But I wonder what would happen on a day when we were told we could not worship as we do anymore. That we could not assemble at this building. That we could not worship God the way we do. Would all of us still make a point of worshiping? Or would we just say, okay, a challenge has come to my faith, and instead of following through, I'm going to cave in. Is that being strong or being weak? It takes strength to do something you know is right when everyone else is telling you it's wrong. And so if the day were to come when this country says that we cannot worship the way we do anymore, what will we do? Will we still worship God? Or will we stop? What if maybe, and maybe this is more likely in at least my lifetime, I really am hopeful and I really don't think it'll come to a point where I'm not allowed to worship God at all in this country. It may. I do maybe foresee in my lifetime being told there are certain subjects we can't talk about. What about then? Do we ignore what the Bible says because the laws of the country tell us we can't? Or do we keep on doing what God has shown us in His Word and teaching His Word? Which one will be our strength? Which one is strength and which one is weakness? Because I feel maybe in my lifetime censorship is coming. That doesn't change the Word of God. So what choices will I make? In the midst of trials. And that's one type of trial. Being told you can't do something that you know is right. What will my choices be? What will my choice be? And then the fifth point. Being strong in the Lord's work. And I didn't put a scripture up there because this is a multifaceted thing. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord's work? Well, going back to some of the very lessons we've already had from this series, being strong in the Lord's work is doing our part. We all have a work to do. We all have a role to fulfill in the Lord's church. And let me tell you, the role is not a pew warmer. And I don't mean to offend anyone.
But roles in the Lord's church are not to sit there to sing and to leave until the next service. That's not a role in the Lord's church. Find it for me in Scripture, and I'll quit talking about that. No, we have roles that need to be fulfilled in the Lord's church. We need men preparing themselves to be elders. We need men preparing themselves to be deacons. We need men preparing themselves to preach and teach. We need ladies preparing themselves to teach. We need people preparing themselves to serve others, to be hospitable, to be evangelistic. There are roles and work that need to be fulfilled in the Bible. And it takes a strong person to say, I will do it. Because this isn't like a community board where you say, oh yeah, I'll be on the board. And then it's one of those boards that never does anything. And any of you who've ever sat on a community board, you know the boards I'm talking about. People are on the board just to have their name on the board. And they do nothing in it. That's not what this is. We need people who are strong and who will say, I will do my part. That I will be there when I need to be there. And please, I am not trying to indict any person. But the last three Wednesday nights have fallen by one person each week to where this last Wednesday was 38 people. Do you know that when everyone's here, it's 66 people? And for the last three Wednesday nights, the average has been 39. Now, I know there's sickness. I know there's people out of town. And I'm going to say this. And you can argue with me later if you want to, or be mad at me if you want to. But when we're sick on Wednesday night, did we go to work Wednesday morning? It takes strength to do what God has asked of us. And that's being an active person in His church. We need to be strong for the Lord. Please. I'm not going to judge any person who tells me they're sick. I'm going to take you at face value that you're sick. But is the Lord? Because if I think you're sick, I don't think he minds that you're not here. Last Sunday morning was 44 people. One third of the congregation was out. And that happens from time to time. Please. But when we can be here, we need to be here. When we have opportunities to be involved in different things, we need to be involved. If you missed it Friday night, we had a great singing and a great time together. But it was a small crowd. That didn't change the fact that it wasn't a good time. It didn't change the fact that we enjoyed each other's company or that our voices lifted in praise to God. But it'd been lovely to have a lot more. It'd be lovely that some of our singings to have so many people we needed a bigger place to have it. I'm just asking you to consider, are you doing your part in the Lord's church? Are you doing your part in serving others? Are you doing your part in being here and participating? Because let me tell you, I don't know about the rest of you, but when a lot of people are out, it makes me sad. Not because I want the board to show great numbers, please. And I have met individuals who are like that. They care about the numbers because it's the numbers. And while I'm a numbers person, and I like numbers, no, it's sad to me when there's a lot out because I'm not drawing encouragement from you when you're not here. Sister Autry is a great encouragement to me. She's always here. Brother Hunter, before his passing, was a great encouragement to me. Because if he could be here, he was here. I draw encouragement from all of you when you're here. And I'm hopeful that you draw encouragement from me and from others. And so it hurts when people aren't here. Are we being strong in the Lord's work and confronting others when they've done us wrong? Part of the work of the Lord is when a brother or sister has wronged us, there's a proper way to handle it. It takes strength to handle it the proper way. It takes little effort to handle it any other way. I've been in situations in multiple congregations where someone has had a problem with me. And do you know how I found out about it? One of the other members told me. Because the member had gone around telling others, but would not come to me. That is not the Bible. And if we've done it ourselves, shame on us. It takes strength to go confront the person who's done you wrong. But that's part of doing the Lord, doing our work in the church. It takes strength to talk to others about the Bible. Because it's so easy to say, well, I talked to them before, and they didn't want it then, so, you know, I'm not going to worry with it now. Or, you know, I know so-and-so's talked to them, so I'm not going to worry about it now. You know what Paul said? I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. The little interactions we have with people, you never know where that may lead. But if we quit, if we give up, then we can pretty well guarantee where it's going to lead. Nowhere. And maybe someone in this room has talked to someone before about the Bible. I think of a man at the congregation where I first started preaching. For 25 years, he worshipped with the group and never obeyed the gospel. Preachers before me had tried to talk to him. I tried to talk to him. Great man. When his wife was out sick, he made sure his boys were always there. He was always there. Even if the whole family was sick, he was there. And let me tell you, he was the only one in the congregation that had his Bible study prepared. And would make the best comments in class, but never would obey the gospel. And right after I left, the new preacher came in, and within 2 weeks he was baptized. And at first it really infuriated me. I said, what did you say? I tried everything. He said, I guess it was just a different person. And that's just the way it is sometimes. It takes a different person being the one to talk to him. So let's not write off anybody just because they didn't listen to me. And let's not write off our work because the last person I talked to said no. Or the last person I talked to, they did obey, but then they fell away. It takes strength to do the Lord's work. It takes strength to live as a New Testament Christian. Are we going to be strong? Or are we going to sit back and relax? Because let me tell you, my brethren, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Here and everywhere. There's a work that needs to be done. There's a work that we need to do that the Lord's church might grow. Are we going to be strong or are we going to sit back? The answer to that question determines how effective we're going to be. 66 people here using the number for a different reason.
Let's say one third of us today decide we're going to be strong. That will determine the effectiveness of our congregation. What if all of us said that we would be strong? You think we'd be more effective as a group? Think we'd grow closer together? Think we might be able to pack these pews? Maybe? If all of us said, I'm going to be strong and do the Lord's work. That's the situation we find ourselves in. We've talked about this morning. It takes strength to admit we need help, and it takes strength to admit we've been wrong. Please do not leave this place this morning outside of God. Please be strong enough to admit you need salvation, to admit that you've been wrong and need assistance, to admit that you need to come back to Him. Whatever your case may be, I urge you, be strong for the Lord. If we can help you this morning, won't you come forward as we sing the song that's been selected?